Welcome to another online service, Wylie Methodist Church and friends. We are glad that you are here. This is going to end. God is still God. And in the meantime, we will continue to meet like this. I wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, can you get a shot of that? This is our church directory. It's laid on my heart this week. We're going to pray. Your name probably is in here, and if it's not, we'll refer to that as well. But this is our church membership, and we're going to pray over this membership. I wish you were here in physical form, but you are in your home staying safe and in spirit. So before I pray over that, I want to read to you from God's Word, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I know you've probably heard this before, but in these times that we find ourselves in, this is more relevant than ever. If my people, God says, who are called by my name, who's he talking about? Us. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Church, I invite you to be in prayer with me that God would heal our land. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do. We lift up our land. We lift up our nation. We lift up our state and our local community. We lift up Wylie United Methodist Church. We pray, God, that you would keep us safe. But more than that, Father, we pray that you would heal our land, that you this virus that is going around, that, Father, we would see it diminish day by day, moment by moment, that it would become less and you would become more. We pray that your name would be lifted up. Father, I pray for the people found in this directory, the families that make up this church, Wylie Methodist Church. I pray blessings and safety on them. Lord, we are excited for what you're doing. We know this is a crisis we're in, but it's also a Christ time. So we call out to you. We trust you, and we pray blessings on your people and on our community in Jesus' name. Let's worship together. Trevor is back. Trevor, lead us.
I must be near. Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be here today as we've come to celebrate Jesus. And so today, what I want you to do is I want you to hold up your hands and I want you to give me a big wave. Y'all wave too. Can y'all wave back there? Okay. All right. I know I can't see you waving, but I trust that you are waving at us. So, you know, so we're going to talk about our hands today. So our hands are great. God knew what he was doing when he gave us hands, right? So we use our hands for everything. We use it to write our names, write a letter, drive a car, answer the phone, eat, play games, and we use our hands to say I love you or to say other words using our hands. God knew what he was doing, but of course God knows everything that he's doing. So do you think God has hands? So, and what do you think God has in his hands? So the Bible tells us in Job 12:10, in his hands is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. And then Psalms 19:2 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his handiwork. And then Psalms 95:4, in his hands are the depths of the earth and the mountain peaks. And then in Isaiah 40:12, he who measures the water in the hollow of his hands are the breath of his hands marks off the heavens. Do you think God has really big hands? I think he does. So now look at your hands. Can you imagine holding all the water in the earth? I don't think so. Can you measure the heavens and the skies? I don't think so, but God can. And do you know that God has one more thing in his hand? It tells us in John 10:28, it says, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. God is holding each one of us in his hands. When we trust God to save us from our sins and we believe that Jesus died on the cross and he arose on that third day, God puts us in his hands and he's holding us right now. And that is amazing that God is holding us in his hands right this very moment. And that is just so amazing. You know, with everything that's going on, that we can know that God loves us. He's holding us into the palm of his hands. So, but right now it's hard for us to use our hands. And some things we can't use our hands for is we can't hug our friends. We can't hug our, you know, maybe other people around. We can't give high fives. We can't do handshakes. We can't even play with our friends right now. But that's okay because God is still holding us in his hands. So this week I want you to use your hands, but I want you to do something special with your hands. I want you to maybe write a card. So I've written a card here, and it's just to some friends, and I'm just telling them that God's holding them God is holding them in his hands. Or write a letter and maybe draw a picture to them. Or you could send them a hug. Did you know you could send a hug in the mail? So I'm going to tell you how to do that. So what you're going to do is you're going to draw your handprints like I've done here and cut them out. And then I've written on there, just write a notes of encouragement. And then I put a string in the middle of it. And then this is the hug. And so you can use this as a hug. So what they can do is they can take this and they can put it up and you're giving them a hug. Isn't that pretty cool that you can do that? So yeah. So I want you to think of somebody special this week that you could make a hug for. Write a letter, send a card, draw a picture, whoever it may be, because so many people need to be encouraged, whether it's a grandparent, a friend, a neighbor, or just anyone. Think of them. So get your mom and dad to help you put it in the mail, write the letter, do the card, cut out your handprints, put it in the mail, and mail it to someone, because God is holding us in his hands, and we need to be reminded that God loves us, he cares about us, he's watching over us, and he is holding us in his big, big hands. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you for your love for us, and I thank you that you are holding us in your hands and that you care about what's going on in our lives. Lord, just bless us as we move forward through this week. Watch over us and give us direction and peace, Lord. We just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, church family. I'm going to invite you in your homes to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for that. A couple of scriptures that I was reading this morning that brought encouragement to me, I thought I'd share those before we pray. Psalm 34:10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So God is wanting to pour out his goodness on us, and if we seek him, we lack nothing that he wants to pour out on us. In Isaiah 25:3-4, those of steadfast mind you keep in peace because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. He is steadfast, church. He is incredibly faithful during the coronavirus time and not during a time like this as well. Most of you know, or some of you may know, that statistically, Abilene, Texas is the fourth highest hotspot in the nation as far as coronavirus cases doubling every so many days. We're number four in the nation. And I don't think we need to stand for that. I think we need to pray into that, pray against that. And so that's the direction I want to go this morning. And I ask you to join me in prayer. And in your homes this morning, just take a little bit of time just to get silent before him. Some of you have children running around, which that's awesome. But I just encourage you just try to get quiet before him for 30 seconds or so, and then I will pray. God, your word says, and Jeff's going to share this morning, that for us to be still and know that you're God. And Lord, through all the hustle and bustle of what's going on in our lives, quarantined in our homes, getting out in the community and people counting heads as we walk into places of business, Lord, we just need to know you more deeply. So, Lord, help us to be still this day. God, I just want to pray, God, against this virus, Lord, that's attacking our community. And, Lord, whether we believe that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to mankind, or we believe that it's overhyped, it's causing confusion and it's causing chaos in our community. So Lord, I pray against that. I pray against what the enemy's trying to do to disrupt and to divide. God, I pray for unity in our community. And Lord, the body of Christ needs to have it, and it's impossible without the Holy Spirit. So I pray for unity in our community in the body of Christ. And Lord, God, I pray that the best that we can bring unity together inside Christ and outside Christ, I pray that that happens. Something supernatural happens, Lord. That this community is not divided, that we're all on the same page. Lord, I pray for our city government, our leadership, Lord, as they continue to offer guidance. Lord, God, I pray for the business community, God. I just pray that it explode. I pray against that spirit of fear that would keep people from being who you've called them to be. Lord, just move in power in Abilene, Texas. Just move in power. Oh God, we love you and we trust you. You are a strong tower. You are a rock. On the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, the gates of hell will not prevail. And so, Lord, we claim that promise, that Jesus is Lord of our lives, my life, and we just declare he's Lord over Abilene, Texas. God, just move in power for your glory. And Lord, now we pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome again to our worship service this morning. Man, I can feel the Holy Spirit here. I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in your home. Hear these words from God's Word in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome in every home that's listening. We ask that you would speak, Holy Spirit, in power and authority, that you would transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series that I started last week, The God of, The God of. Today's message is The God of Refuge, The God of Refuge. And I'm going to just dive right in this morning. When trouble comes, and I could say when the coronavirus comes, because that seems to be what's on everyone's heart and minds, but when trouble comes, God is our ever-present refuge. It's the verse 1 of the passage in Psalm 46 that we just read. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. That word refuge, we don't use that word often, but I kind of looked it up to get us a better handle of what the psalmist is trying to tell us. Refuge, according to the dictionary, is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Do you think we need that, church? Do you think we need that in these times? I remember a few years ago, Cheryl and I, we built a house. It's not the current house we live in, but it's, I guess it's been, golly, 20 years ago or so, we built this house. And we decided to build a storm shelter. And we looked at the Texas Tech. All you Red Raiders out there, got a shout out to the Red Raider Nation. Texas Tech had done this study of how to build a self-built storm shelter. And without getting too technical, what I did is when they poured the slab, I had them set rebar up, for 2 or 3 feet up above, just in a square. And then when the slab was poured, we got cinder block. And you thread the cinder block through the hole in the cinder block. You thread it across the rebar, and then you, after you do that all the way around and you begin to stack up, you start filling that with concrete. You start filling those holes with concrete. And when you get to the top, you have this reinforced room. And then I put a 1/4-inch sheet of steel, and same deal, had little bolts that I put into the rebar, bolts that I put into the concrete at the top, and set this steel sheet on top and bolted it down securely, and I had a safe room. I can remember, we were there in that house, 6 years or so, and I remember probably being in that safe room maybe a couple of times when a storm would pass by, but here's the deal. I never really needed the safe room, but I sure was glad I had it. I was sure glad to have it, because anytime there was even the threat of a storm, you knew you had the peace that I had that room that our family could get into and be safe. Now, our current house that we've lived in for, 12 years or so, maybe longer, we don't have a, a safe room. So some feel a little somewhat vulnerable if a storm comes by. The best thing we can do is maybe crawl in a bathtub with a mattress or in a closet or something like that. So there's just some kind of security having this safe place to go. A few years ago, we had some men. We went on a retreat, and we were passing through Joplin, Missouri. And if you'll remember, I think it was in 2011, Joplin had a horrible tornado. And I've actually got a video where some people, I don't know how they did it, but they actually had a video when they were driving down this long street, right down the main street of Joplin. And there's the top half of the screen shows the way that street looked prior to the tornado. And the bottom half of the screen shows after the tornado. And, of course, buildings were gone. Debris was scattered everywhere. Trees, I'll never forget this. Trees either were broken off or they were stripped clean. It's amazing. The video before, it showed these big, massive, beautiful trees with all these leaves and everything. And then this after the tornado, the trees were stripped clean, and they were just a trunk, basically. But here's what's interesting. The tree stood. The tree stands today. Those trees have recovered. They've rebuilt the homes that they've been recovered. God is an ever-present refuge. He, no matter what this coronavirus throws at us, no matter what life throws at us, God is our ever-present refuge. Secondly, with God as a refuge, we never have to fear. We never have to fear. We don't have to fear the present or the future or anything in between. God is our refuge. The psalmist says he is our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, go back to see what it's there for. So he's saying God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Because of that, therefore, what? We will not fear because we have him as our spiritual safe room, if you will. We will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, the earth, the mountains quake with their surging, though coronavirus, no, that's not in there, but it is, really, should be in there. I remember, and you guys probably get tired of hearing my old computer programmer stories, but I used to write programs in this ancient language called COBOL. And one of the things, it was very much of an English-oriented programming language. And one of the commands that you would have in this COBOL language was an if-then statement. If this is true, then do this. And that's the same thing with therefore, when you see that in God's Word. God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, we will not fear. We don't have to be afraid. You know, it's amazing if you look at God's Word. I actually did a search on this. The phrase, do not fear or fear not, depending on your translation, is found approximately 70 times in the Bible. It goes back to when God appeared to Abraham and began to tell him what was going to take place, he said, don't be afraid. And then we know that when the angel appeared to Mary, when the angel appeared to Joseph, they always said, don't be afraid, fear not. When Jesus was resurrected and the women discovered the empty tomb, the angel said, don't be afraid. On and on and on we see, do not be afraid. Why can we not fear? Because God is our ever-present help. He's our ever-present shelter and refuge. The psalmist, you know, this is a really good time. This season is a really good time to get into the Psalms. Because most of the time when you're reading these psalmists, they have gone through something. They're either praising God and giving thanks for something he's done, or they are confessing sin that they've had in their own life and how God has redeemed them, how God has brought them through difficult circumstances. Listen to Psalm 34. It says, I sought the Lord, the psalmist says, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. He doesn't say delivered me from most of my fears, some of my fears. He delivered me from all my fears. And there's this seeking of the Lord. And you hear me use the term pressing in. Pressing in. I sought the Lord. He delivered me from all my fears. 1 John says it this way, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So, you know, I just confess to you during this season, I don't find myself fearful, but I find myself sometimes get down because we can't be together, just wondering about, you know, what decisions need to be made and so forth. And so if we just press into the Lord, we don't have to fear any of those things, any of the things about the future. Thirdly, we never have to fear because, why? Because God is with us. And He is not only with us, but He's for us. Did you know that God is not this God up in the sky waiting for you to mess up and zap you? Did you know that? God is this God who loves you. For God so loved you that He sent Jesus so that you could have eternal life. The psalmist that we just read today, Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isaiah 43 says it this way, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. Did you know that God knows your name? In fact, it says in the Word that He's got your name inscribed on His hands. He has summoned you by name. You are mine. Do not be afraid, God says, because I am with you. I don't know if this illustration will make any sense to you, but it really did to me as I was thinking about it this week. Not this year, but as of last summer, the two years prior to that, I was making a trip to Lubbock to complete my ordination responsibilities. I was making a trip to Lubbock once a month. And after 2 years, those trips, you know, were getting a little monotonous. But I remember one of the things that I spent a lot of time with the Lord on those drives. And one of the ways that I get close to the Lord is through Christian music. And I remember listening KGNZ. When I'd leave, many times I'd have to be in Lubbock fairly early, so I'd have to leave before it was even light in Abilene. And I would, as I would leave town, I remember I could tune in to KGNZ, and I was hearing uplifting music. I was hearing the Word of God. And I remember right when you make that on Highway 84 North, you take that highway just past Sweetwater, and you go up through Roscoe, a long stretch on Highway 84. I can remember somewhere after Roscoe, that signal began to fade. And I remember... then I'd start trying to tune in other radio stations usually with very little luck until I got closer to Lubbock. But I remember that stretch there, man. It was just, you know, and that was also a time where I could just be with the Lord. But I remember coming home and coming home when I would pick up that tower signal just the other side of Roscoe. And there was just comfort knowing I'm almost home. That I've got this encouraging music that I'm now coming back into range. God is always with us. He's like this strong tower. In fact, Proverbs says it this way, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So it's like this pressing into God that He is our strong tower. We pursue Him. And you know, did you know that God is pursuing you as well? God is pursuing you. But when we press into Him, when we run to Him, we are safe. Again, and I'm going to close with this. The psalmist, Psalm 139, says it this way. You, O Lord, have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's wombs. Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, church? I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did you know? So that last little verse, I want to kind of talk about that for just a second. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, if we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and then the psalmist goes on to say, your works are wonderful. What does that make us? Wonderful. If his works are wonderful and we are his works, it makes us wonderful. And he knows us by name. He seeks us, and he is with us, and we do not have to fear. Let's pray. Father, you are the God of refuge. You are our strong tower. You are our ever-present help in times of trouble. And Father, we cry out to you during this time, the uncertainty of the future. But in the midst of it all, we know you love us. We know you are with us and for us. And because of that, we have nothing to fear. Bless us, O God. And may we be a blessing to others. There are people, Father, that don't have the hope of Christ during this crisis. May we be vessels for you. May we be your ambassadors to a frightened and hurting world. May we stand strong in faith. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take this opportunity right before we close that, again, I'm here. Our staff is here. We are here if you need us. If you need anything, please, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org is my email. Please email me and let me know the need, and we'll see if we cannot meet that need or help meet that need. I also want to thank you again for your financial faithfulness. Our finances are strong in the midst of this, and that is a testament to your faithfulness to this God that loves you. We want to thank you for that. If you want to give, you can give online through the button there on your screen, or you can go to our website or our app and give online. You can also mail a check to us at the office. God bless. Trevor?
Who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness? He humbled himself to carry the cross. Love so Jesus Messiah.